Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. I'm just going to use that as a jumping off point for a particular verse. I want to talk to you today about the promise of Christ and the prophecies regarding his first coming. And I promise I'll let you out by 2 o'clock, all right? Galatians chapter 4, in verse number 4, the first part of that verse says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son. The Old Testament records a number of scriptures concerning the promise of the coming Messiah. And I want to look at some of those today. And I just want to draw your attention that God knows what he's doing. God knows when he needs to do it. And we need to trust by faith that he knows what he's doing. So many times we want to do it ourselves. And many of those times we get in trouble. And some of us are hard-headed and we keep on doing it that way. And I think I have mellowed a little bit in my age and just started trusting God more. And I would admonish you to do the same. Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. And it is God's desire to use each and every one of us. The question often comes is, are we willing to trust him and submit to him and wait on him for him to use us? And be busy in the meantime of praying and looking for opportunities that God can use us. You never know when you can just make a passing comment that will make a lasting impression upon you. This week I've been reflecting on some things that's happened earlier in my life. And it's amazing that your memory, who catalogs it all, puts it back there and you bring it up at appropriate times. I look back on my life, and you can look back on your life, and you can see the protecting hand of God, even before you knew the Lord. I look at some things that God has done in my life and just protected me and kept me safe. And I know all things work together for him to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. And we don't understand all God's timing. But God's timing is important because he's preparing us for something else down the way. I want to look at five words here. I want to look at the promise. His first promise concerning a Savior happened shortly after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. God made a promise, and if we're not careful when we read Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, we will miss it. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's really the first promise of a Savior. God has always had a plan to redeem you. And it started back in the Garden of Eden because he knew that Adam and Eve would sin. And he knew that because of that we would have a sin nature, and that sin nature would bring us to a place in our life that we would sin. It's amazing that I use this example. I have some grandchildren, I have some great-grandchildren, but no one taught them how to lie. It just came naturally, if you want to say that. And people have been involved in misquoting or telling untruths all their life. It's amazing that how that sin nature in us just keeps popping up along our journey. We hide things and we don't tell the whole truth. I know I went through a portion in my life where I would not lie, but I would leave off certain important facts that would give off a different meaning to what I said. That's just our human manipulation to look good. But God promised there would come a Savior. And I know, and you know, that God doesn't lie, according to Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It's impossible for Him to lie. And we should take on that nature as much as we possibly can, that we will not lie. But God promised a son. God makes promises in the Bible, and most of them have been fulfilled, and some of them are still coming to be. But God made that promise that Jesus would come. We can look back 2,000 years and see the history of Jesus in His earthly sojourn. But we need to understand that God gave us a sign, and out of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, it says, "The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, now shall call His name Emmanuel." Well, Emmanuel means God with us. See, when you ask Jesus into your heart, He came into your heart. And if you're not careful, you will also, because you asked the Lord in your heart, you were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And between Jesus, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, you are protected and you are guided if you're willing to listen. One of the amazing things to me is the patience of God in putting up with some of the stupid things that we do. I often think that God has a very dry sense of humor. And He just chuckles at us and some of our stupidity along the way. But God made the promise that He would come. And then He made another promise that it would be in a particular place. Have you ever told someone that you would show up at a particular time and for some reason or another you didn't show up or you were late? Well, God's never late. God waited, but He made a promise in Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, where He says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel. He's going forth are from of old and from everlasting." Not only is there a place called Bethlehem that the Lord came to be born, but God had to arrange certain events to make it happen. He had to use the ruler of Rome to order a census. And that census made the head of the household to revert back to return to his birthplace. Well, Joseph was born in Bethlehem, so he had to come back to Bethlehem. But in so doing, Mary, who is with child by the Holy Spirit, time is approaching. And she arrives in Bethlehem, and they're there a couple of days, and lo and behold, the birth of Jesus Christ. See, God fulfills His promise along the way. God always takes care of what He says. You can rest assured from Genesis to Revelation, everything in there is true. You may not understand it. And you may not understand, maybe you will never understand it this side of heaven. But it's amazing that the Word of God comes to life when you read it. It doesn't make any difference how many times you read it. Every time you read it, something new sort of jumps out at you from the pages. And that should create a thirst in you to read the Word of God. You can never drink all the water out of the Word of God, because Jesus is the living water. The deeper you grow and the more you read, the more nuggets you find in the Word of God. It's alive and well. It will feed your soul. If I could encourage you to start the new year off and read the Word of God. I developed my own plan about reading the Word of God. I tried, I don't know, 50 different ways to read. I started in Genesis and read the Revelation, and I get bogged down in the middle somewhere of the way. Then I started reading some of the Old Testament and some of the New Testament, and it still didn't fit together just right. Because how many pages do you read? And I wanted to read the Bible through in a year. But I think God just gave me the direction. This is what works for me. I don't know if it would work for you, but it's what works for me. I read a chapter a day in the New Testament. I can read through the entire New Testament in just short of a year. Then I can read a chapter in Psalms. I read Psalms and Proverbs, and I link them together. And I read a chapter a day in them. And I can read Psalms and Proverbs twice a year in about 10 months or 11 months, thereabouts. And then I took the rest of the Old Testament and I subtracted the number of pages in Psalms and Proverbs. And then I found that number and I divided by 365, and that works out in my Bible the way the print is. If I read approximately 3.5 pages and I finish up a chapter, and I can, sometimes I read 4 pages, sometimes it's actually 5 if there's a long chapter involved, but I can read the rest of the Old Testament that way in about another 11 months or so. So I can read the whole Bible through in a year. But what I found, and I've been reading the Bible for years. See, I'm old, okay? Every time I read, I find something new. Something I forgot. Something I just needed to be reminded of. Something for some event that I'm going through, or something I'm struggling with mentally, and God just has a way of something just jumping off the page to me. And that helps me along the way. It's like eating. I eat part of the Word of God daily, and it just refreshes my soul. I eat regularly, okay? I don't know about you, but I go to that refrigerator. And I like fresh fruit. So I eat grapes and tangerines and apples. I have a couple servings of those, and every once in a while I eat some peaches. But my wife likes fudge stripe cookies. She likes Reese cups. And I leave the Reese cups alone, but I like those fudge stripe cookies also. And so I'm a constantly snack. But see, I'm constantly eating, but we need to be eating the Word of God on a regular basis, because it will feed you. And if you struggle, you can just, I mark up my Bible. If I brought all my Bibles in that I've wore out along the way, you always find them highlighted. It doesn't make any difference what marker highlighter I have. I use them all. And just whatever I can grab, I use, you know. But I highlight verses that just have a way of sticking out to me. I mean, I have Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth His Son. Well, I've underlined that in yellow. Well, I actually highlighted all that in yellow. But then I underlined, God sent forth His Son in orange. It's just another way of highlighting, because it spoke to me again. God has a way of just taking care of us. Not only did He made the promise and He gave us the place, but He gave us a purpose. And that purpose is for Him to die in our place. And I've never understood why God would allow His Son to die in my place. I'm not worthy of his son's blood. I'm not worthy for him to die in my place and pay the price for my sins. But in Isaiah chapter 53, there's a number of verses I want to look at. I'll just read 5-7. But just visualize this for a minute or so. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. In my Bible, I have, they put those little numbers up there. I can't think what, almost like footnote numbers. And so I just, by different words that they maybe give a different translation for. And let me read it so that those three words appear. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by the blows that cut, we are healed. When I read that, and I think of them whipping the Lord on his back. The back is the only place on in your body that doesn't have any arteries. And so when they whipped someone with, use a colonial term, cat of nine tails, and just ripped the skin off the back, he couldn't bleed by cutting an artery. But he endured that for you and I. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep are sheep are dumb animals. Is it any reason why God compared sheep and us together? You think about that. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. When you read the section of scripture where the Lord is before Pilate, and he just kept his mouth shut. The only time he opened his mouth before Pilate is when he says, "Are you the Son of God?" He says, "Yes." He couldn't deny himself. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is silent. Yet he opened not his mouth. That's our Lord. Full of humility. Not trying to scream self-defense and say, "You don't know what you're doing, you're crazy. Don't you understand I'm the Son of God and I can call 10,000 angels if I wanted to?" He didn't mention any of that. He just endured the cross for you and I. Because Isaiah said he would do it. Hundreds of years before. And then our wonderful Lord endured the penalty. Verse number 8 says, "He was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken." God knew thousands of years ago that you would be sitting in church. He knew thousands of years ago that people would ask the Lord in their heart. He knew thousands of years ago there's yet people who need the Lord. And God has so given us the responsibility of telling others about the Lord. And we're honest with ourselves, we fail him a lot in that one area of telling people about the Lord. Inviting people to the house of God. Maybe We're stumbling blocks to other people because of our actions and our words. But if we are convicted by our actions and our words in front of somebody, maybe we need to apologize and say, that's not the way I'm supposed to act. Maybe even say, the Lord convicted my heart. I need to apologize to you. See, I'm a Christian. I'm not perfect. But I wanted to apologize to you, and I want you to know that God loves you and me, even in our imperfections, and He wants everybody to know Jesus as His Savior. If you could say just something simple like that, you would be surprised. Eternity will reveal how the Holy Spirit took that and just turned it in people's hearts and brought conviction along the way. For the transgressions of my people, the Lord hung on the cross. Your sins, my sins, He was willing to go to the cross. You ever think about, would you endure something like that for your children? I've questioned myself. If it's a choice between me and my son, would I die in my son's place? You think about that. That's a hard. In my head, I would say yes. But in my heart, I don't know. I think I would still say yes, but I don't know. You never know what you would do until you're in the situation. But are we willing to lay down our lives for the Lord? Are we willing to stand up and protect somebody? We probably will say yes with our mouth, but will we? And then there's a promise that's found in the book of Joel. And that is basically salvation is available for the asking. Joel says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is interesting how God brings emphasis to Scripture. If you turn in the New Testament to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 21, it says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why does God place such an emphasis on a particular scripture that He would use it three times in the Word of God? Because God loves us, and He wants to use us along the way. He desires to use us along the way. He wants to use us along the way. Salvation is available for the asking. It takes a brave person to respond to an invitation in a church or any public meeting where they can ask someone to lead them to the saving knowledge of Christ. But I can tell you this, God answers prayer and invitations. I'm here because I responded to an invitation. I'll tell this episode over and over and over and over again. I'll never get tired of telling it. I went to church as a young kid. My half-sister is my first memory. I was probably 3 or 4. My grandparents took me when I was in the first grade in kindergarten. Then they moved and they took me to another church when I was 8 years old and 9 years old. Then a friend of mine invited me to a little church when I was in high school, and I went there for a while. And then I got married, and we went to my wife's church for a while, and we just didn't fit in. Everybody there was old, in our opinion. So we didn't go. Then my grandmother, who was near and dear to my heart, invited my wife and I to the last night of revival. Says, you need to come to hear him. Now, I'm just speak very frankly here. All grandmothers are old. And all grandmothers have a purpose with their grandkids, and sometimes they bug you to death. I lived with my grandmother for my high school years because my parents wanted somebody there in the house in case she fell or something. But my parents lived across the street, and we lived up to two houses up across the street. And so I knew my grandmother. I watched her life. I mean, I remember my grandmother reading her Bible. She just read that Bible. She didn't preach to me. But when she invited us to church that time, we just went to shut her up. Bottom line. But God used that night to convict both my wife and I of our need of salvation, and we both accepted the Lord that night. What I'm trying to get you to see is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even in invitations. But see, God has a plan for each and every one of us. But there's another promise. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll start with verse number 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's another promise of his coming. And it could happen today. We're living in a time when the Lord can return. Now, based that upon a fact that he said the nation of Israel would be reborn. Israel is the only nation that's, quote, died and come back to life. Israel is alive and well. They have the land. They don't have it all, but they have the land. And we're living in a time when the Lord can come back and snatch us out of here. Question I would ask you, are you ready to fly? Are you ready to fly? Because I thought of this morning. Years ago, we used to play hide and seek. And the person that was it, the one that was that said, ready or not, here I come. Well, the Lord can say that right now. Ready or not, here I come. The question is, are we ready to go? You're not going to have a choice. As a born-again saint of God, you're going to fly. But I almost guarantee you, all of us, wish we had done more for Christ. May we, by God's grace and God's leadership, do more for him, because one day we're going to stand before him. May we take the time to pray and to go for Jesus' sake. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your patience, your kindness. Thank you for each one that's here today. I pray as they, you have spoken to their hearts, they would be obedient to whatever you have said to them to do. Whether it's to visit somebody, to pray for somebody, or what. May they, by God's grace, do it. Would you meet us in this invitation? For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to you, I ask you to respond. Shall we all stand, please?
Good choice for a song. I hadn't heard that in a long time. That was great. Let's dismiss together with God's word. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
All right. You're dismissed. Be careful.